Well, it's a great day to be in the house of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, if you've got that with you this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. You might want to keep your Bible open because we're going to be rambling along this morning. 2 Corinthians 6, 2. The great apostle Paul is writing this letter, of course, to the Corinthians. And here in chapter 6 in verse 2, he begins to quote from Isaiah chapter 49. For he saith, who saith? The Lord saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your great love and mercy you've given to us in our lives. And Father God, this morning as we've come celebrating birthdays and anniversaries and this wonderful child that you've given to us in our congregation, many multitudes of things we have to be thankful for this morning. Even in the midst of tragedy, we are thankful to you today for your great gift of salvation. Lord, as we look at this passage of Scripture this morning, guide our hearts and our minds. Instruct us from your words that we might go away from here today just a little bit lighter in our step, a little bit higher focus, and realizing how blessed we are for these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I also want to thank you for that little time I had last week that we went down and kind of handed off Sonia's mother to her sister and those folks there. They're taking her to Arkansas. And, of course, we had a little family time. My brother came down and Beth's children came. And so we had a little time together. And, of course, we saw Todd there in Branson. And he got us a couple of complimentary tickets for the Andy Williams show. Let me just say, if you have the opportunity and you go down there, don't pass up on that show. It is fantastic. He's only 82. I gave him 10 more years. He moves like he's 92. But no, actually, he's 82, and he can sing. He can still sing. He can belt it out. Matter of fact, when it gets to the stuff that you really need some air, that's when he does his best. He's got some air. And so, Chuck, we can just keep hammering away till the Lord takes us home, you know, and we can just keep, and of course, where's Becky? Becky's probably, oh no, I thought they were going to retire. No, we're going to hang with you, Becky, wherever you're at. There she is. Okay. And so it was just a lot of fun. But he was out on stage, for about 2 hours. The only time he left and wasn't singing was when he did a costume change. And so when he came back, he told a little joke or did some kind of amusing thing. And so the first joke he told was about two women who died and went to heaven. And so the one woman asked this other woman, well, how did you die? And the woman said, well, I froze to death. And the woman said, oh, my goodness, that's terrible. And then the other woman said, well, how did you die? She said, well, I had a massive heart attack. How did that happen? She said, well, it's a little bit of a long story. She said, but I had a suspicion. I was kind of suspecting that my husband might have been cheating on me. So I told him I was going to work late that night. And then I came home quite unexpectedly, and I just barged into the house. She said, I ran right in, and there was my husband sitting on the couch reading a book. And so she said, but I knew the other woman was here somewhere. So I looked behind the couch, and I looked in the closet. Then I ran down the hall to the kitchen, and I looked in the pantry there, where we kept all our groceries and all that kind of stuff. You know, I went into the washroom and looked in there. And then I raced down the hallway, looked in the bedroom, looked under the bed in the bedroom. Nobody there. Went to the guest bedroom, looked in the closet there, looked in the under the bed there. Then I thought, well, maybe in the basement. So I went down to the basement and to my husband's workshop, and I looked through all his files, and he had a big chest there. I looked in that chest. Nobody there. She said, well, might be in the attic. So I raced up in the attic, looked around in the attic, nobody there. She said, on the way down, I had a massive heart attack. And the other girl said, boy, if you'd have just looked in the kitchen, in the freezer, we most might be alive today. Old joke, but I thought it was funny. And then Andy said, you know, that he walks every day. He gets up at 7 o'clock in the morning. He walks 4 miles every day. He says he has a friend there in the cul-de-sac where he lives that walks with him every day, Walter. And so they walk every day. And so some months ago, Walter said, Andy, hey, I have an uncle that's in the nursing home in Arkansas. Leaves are beginning to turn and all those kind of things. Would you want to ride with me? I'm going to go down and visit him. He said, it'll be a beautiful ride. And so Andy said, yes, I'll go with you. So they rode down to the nursing home. And he said it was just beautiful. Spectacular. He said, if you haven't been to the Ozarks, you know, at that time of year, you need to get down there. He says, the leaves changing and the hills. And I thought to myself, we're so flat here, it's unbelievable. Anyway, just beautiful. They got down to the nursing home. And his friend said, I'm going to go visit my uncle. And he said, I'll tell you what, I've got a book with me. I see they have a garden over here. I'll just go over there and sit in the garden, read my book. You talk to your uncle, and when you get ready to go, come get me, and I'll be ready to go. So Andy Williams said, he went in there and sat down on the bench, and he opened his book, and he said, in just a little while, he said, this little teeny lady came up. Now, I don't know how tall he is, but he's not very tall. If he's that tall, I'd be surprised. Anyway, he kept emphasizing this little teeny white-haired lady. Now, he's got white hair too, Anyway, he said, and they just hit it off. She was so delightful. They just talked and talked and talked and chattered about this and chattered about that and talked about all kinds of, and he said, so intelligent. And it was just a marvelous one. He said, before I knew it, the time was up and my friend Walter was waving for me to come. Then he kind of thought to himself, we never kind of introduced ourselves. And then he said, I didn't know what to say to her exactly. So he just said, I said to her, do you know my name? And the little lady says, no, but you can go to the front desk and they'll tell you. Well, see, it's a great show, but I've already ruined it for half of you. Several years ago, there was a popular song that was written by Jim Croce. Now, it wasn't, Superman's Cape or something like that, but it was called Time in a Bottle. It was very popular when I was a kid. Most of you weren't born then, probably. But it went like this. It says, if I could save time in a bottle, the first thing I'd like to do is save every day till eternity passes just to spend them with you. Well, it's a love song, gushy thing. Then he goes on to say, if I could make days last forever, if words could make wishes come true, I'm sure every day I'd save every day like a treasure, and then again I would spend them with you. Then he breaks into the chorus, if you remember. But there never seems to be enough time to do the things you want to do once you've found them. I've looked around enough to know that you're the one I want to go through time with. Well, it was a popular song. This is a mushy love song thing, in that song, that romantic song about a man and a woman, there is a very interesting and timeless truth. That time is a fragile gift, and we dare not take it for granted. Time, present time. And not too many years ago, there was a movie that was out by Tom Hanks. Remember it, Castaway? And his character was a guy named Chuck, I remember. He was a FedEx employee, and one of the scenes while he was in Russia, he makes this statement. He says, we live and die by time. We must never commit the sin of turning our back on time. And of course, you know the story. Later on, Chuck gets on the FedEx plane and he boards the plane and he yells to his girlfriend Kelly or something like that. And he says to her, I'll be right back. Of course, he doesn't come right back, does he? Does anybody remember how many years it took him to get back home? 26. Did somebody say 26? 26. 26. 26. Unfortunately, that's the way we live our lives, don't we? We tell people, I'll see you tomorrow. I'll be right back. And somehow or another, we don't recognize that the time that we have in the present is the time we have. That's all there is. We say, I'll see you tomorrow, but we're not promised tomorrow, are we? We think we're going to do something tomorrow, but we have no assurance of doing that thing tomorrow. And how many times can you think about when you said something like that, that something unexpected has come up, probably not 26 years on a desert island or deserted island, but has interrupted that timeline? Well, today is our gift from God. Did you know that? It really is. When you woke up this morning and you pulled on your shoes, the baby was barfing on you or something like that, it's your gift from God. And actually, we really know how important it is. We really do. In our heart of hearts, we really know how important it is. But there's something that happens to us. We start getting squeezed, don't we? Things begin to squeeze in on us. Begin to make demands on our precious time. Begin to take the things that are wonderful and start pushing them out for the things that are expedient. How many times have you made a promise to somebody and you fully intended to make it, keep it, but you didn't because something happened? Something pressed against you, began to move you, and you were over here. You don't know how you got there exactly, but you weren't able to get to where you wanted to be to keep that promise. And that's the way of the world, isn't it? It constantly hammers us. It constantly squeezes us. It constantly moves us. Sometimes, almost unconsciously, we're moved. We don't recognize it. And we thought we were here, and we're way, way over there. When we look up again, and we get our focus again. Well, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16, he tells us to redeem the time. Because the days are evil. Paul is urging us to buy back that time. Have you ever gone someplace, you put something in layaway or something, you come to redeem it? That's what he's talking about, buying it back. Getting away, it's getting away from us. But it's not too late for us to grab it again and bring it back to us. You know, the past is gone, hardly anything you can do about it but learn from it. But the future, who knows? But the present, that's ours. It's a gift from God. You know, I've lived 60 years now. That's probably a lot longer than some that you know and love. And I've looked around, the song says, enough to know that you'll miss everything. You'll miss everything that's of value and worth in this life if you miss Jesus. That's all there is to it. All other things are just peripheral. I don't care what you say it is. It's still just peripheral. It's just something that the world has stuck in, wedged you out, pushed you down, wedged you out, pushed you down, wedged you out, pushed you down, pushed you down, pushed you down. I'm going to come, Lord. I'm going to serve you. Push you down, push you down. And we just get farther and farther away. And one fine day, we wake up and our life's over. '82. But you can still sing, evidently. Well, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7, in verse 9, 29, he says that the time is short. Yeah. I think James has something to say about life being like a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. Then down there in verse 31, the self-same chapter, 7, Paul says, the fashion of this world passes away. You know, the Bible says that this world, as we know it, is really passing away. Its governments are passing away. Its tyrants, praise the Lord, are passing away. Its kings, Communism, not going to make it. Democracies around the world, they're passing away. Even our glorious and wonderful country that we love is passing away. There's going to come a time when it is not. Police forces, armies, whatever you think about, all these things are passing away. All the things that make up society, all the things that we think about when we live in this world, some of it's beautiful, isn't it? You've probably been to some places that have just took your breath away in the sense of the beauty of that place. It's passing away. It's only temporary. When you rush in to that new home and you're just excited about the fresh paint and the marvelous kitchen things that you've got in there and all that, and you're just so excited, nobody wants to say the truth of the matter is it's passing away. When you get that cool car you've always wanted, you know, you finally got that Corvette, you finally got that Jeep, finally got that dunes buggy, whatever it is, fishing pole, guys, rifle, gun, golf clubs. You're so excited. Ah, can't hardly wait. You know, I got these clubs for Christmas, and I'm going to have to wait till spring to use them. And you're so excited. It's inappropriate, isn't it, to say it's passing away. But it's passing away. Everything in this world is passing away. No matter what it is, no matter how precious it is to you. And some things are worthy to be called precious, but they're passing away. They're passing away. Paul says over in Romans 13, he says, the night is far spent. But that's not the end of that verse. The day is at hand. By night, Paul is talking about the things of this world. All the things that we love and we understand and we're comfortable with. The night is far spent. Everything you love about the world is far spent. But listen, also the things that you may hate or you recognize aren't beautiful or lovely are passing away. Death is passing away. Did you know that? Trouble. Injustice, you know, we're worried about injustice all over the earth and all those kind of things. Cruelty, boy, can't we do some cruel things to each other? It just baffles you how cruel. It's passing away. That's good. Murder is passing away. The night's far spent, but praise the Lord God Almighty, the morning's coming. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. And it's closer today than it was yesterday. And Paul says, and he was looking for that great and glorious returning of the Lord in his life. And now we're well spent into the night. But the morning is coming. Don't think about the judgment part right now. Just think, the morning's coming. The good things that God has for you. The good things that He stored up for you. It's coming. The night's far spent. The struggle is almost over. The pain, the agony is almost over, giving way to the glory. It's here. Just at the door. Just at the door. It's coming. Jesus said, Revelation 22:12, behold, I come quickly. And He says, my reward is with me. Oh, yeah. Not too distant future. Maybe even today or tomorrow. It's close, friends. It's going to pass away. God's going to make all things new. We can't even imagine how wonderful that is going to be. It's like being a blind person all your life and then having some kind of miraculous surgery and getting your sight and then trying to describe that to the sighted. They still can't understand. So we're sighted. We're not supposed to be ignorant, brethren. But we still do not, but just touch it lightly. That's what the God of glory has for us in the morning. In the morning. You know, the old hymn captures it kind of, it says, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. Wow, what a day. What a glorious day that will be. That's cool. I like that part. Yes. Because you see, the time is short and the time is valuable. There must be some way for us to see and grasp the present gift that God has given us and understand its significance and its value and its beauty and its power and its grace and the love, but also see the urgency that's all around us, because there is an urgency around us. The wise men came and they visited Jesus, gave him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Somebody has said, another wise man, that he who walks with Jesus must run at full pace. It's coming, friends. It's close. It's here. You know, Spurgeon's doctor told him, he said, Mr. Spurgeon, you're preaching way too much. You're going to kill yourself. You're going to damage your constitution. He was preaching about 10 times a week. But Spurgeon's reply was this: if I had 1,000 constitutions, I would gladly ruin them all to tell one about Jesus. Friends, the time is ours. It's a blessed time. It's a wonderful time. It's a great time. No matter where you find yourself, it's still that. But there's a world out here that doesn't know that. They're just getting wedged and pushed over and wedged and pushed over, wedged and pushed over, wedged and pushed over, put upon and sat upon and spat upon and put down and pushed around. And they need to know. The night's well spent, but the day is coming. The morning is coming. It's coming very soon. And of course, we who know the Lord will be rewarded. And that's wonderful. But you know what the greatest, I believe, we're going to cast our crowns before Him. But I think the greatest thing that we're going to be able to understand on that wonderful day is when Jesus says, well done, good and faithful servant. Isn't that marvelous? It's great, isn't it? Let's remember the time's short. Let's redeem the time. And what we've got right now is it. Don't say, I'll see you tomorrow. Now, I don't know what tomorrow holds. But we have today. And it's a good day. It's a great day. Because it's the day the Lord has made. And He's allowed you to breathe it in. And to take it out. And come here and worship Him. It's a great day. I don't care what your problems are. Put them aside. Put them down underneath your pew. Stomp on them a little bit. It's your day. Yes, it's your day. Enjoy the grace of God given to you this day. Tomorrow may be the day. But He's given you today. Praise Him in all His glory. Heavenly Father, You're so good to us. You give us abundantly, and even in the midst of tragedy, even in the midst of sorrow, even in the midst of experiences sometimes that break our heart, You're still God and You're still Lord, and Your grace is sufficient for us. Sometimes we have to just refocus, reboot ourselves, and realize who we are and who Jesus is. Sometimes the cares of this world just seems to push aside all the joy that we should have in our great salvation. But Lord, help us to realize what You've done for us. And it's today that we can praise you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving us this day and coming into our worship this morning. You promised you were here, and Lord, I thank you that you're here. Be with us now as we come to this point of invitation. Lord, maybe there's that one out here today who has been struggling. Maybe life has really thrown them a curve. So, Lord, I ask you to just touch their heart. Give them joy. Give them peace in the midst of all uncertainty. Bless them real good. Lord, even maybe this morning there's that one here who's wrestling with that decision, whether to give their heart and mind to you or not. Father, again, I just ask that your Holy Spirit would stir them unto you and you would draw them in your love to recognize you as Lord of their life, even today. For these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.